And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Four o'clock, wallow in self-pity. 4:30, stare into the abyss. 5 o'clock, solve world hunger. Tell no one. 5:30, jazzercise. 6:30, dinner with me. I can't cancel that again.
Good morning, sweet world, and welcome to the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Monday, December 20th. I'm J.E. Skeets, and alongside me, as always, we got Tass Mellis.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, Tassie. We got our Illinois boy, Trey Kirby.
Hey-o.
Hey-o. We've got the international man of mystery patching in here from Canada, Lee Ellis.
Friends, eh?
Hey. And last, not least, making the magic happen, super producer JD.
Hello.
There he is. Here we are. Shout out to the stream team for joining us live right now on YouTube. Take a second to like the video, comment away in the stream team or in the comments below. Share the show and subscribe. That's the most important thing. Subscribe to No Dunks on YouTube. Email in your NBA questions to nodunks@theathletic.com. I'm sure we'll hit the beach at some point this holiday week. Shows Monday through Thursday this week, if everybody wants to keep track. No show on Friday. I don't know if that means we're going to make the Thursday show the drop podcast, or is it just a normal daily show? I do have to rip open the Hamakashlema catalog at some point. JD, you had a gift to open live on air at some point. Mm-hmm. But we'll figure it out as we go on this week. Monday through Thursday shows all week long here. And last but not least, follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, at NoDunksInc. Okay. Guys, how's everybody doing? Let's check in. I know, Trey, you drove home. How was that? One shot, boom, 10 hours, 11 hours, what are we looking at?
It's going to be a long drive. Had to stock up on energy a cool 14 hours, Skeetsy.
Ooh, yum, yum.
And we found out within the first hour that our iPads are too old to support mobile streaming.
Oh, no.
Classic. Oh, baby. So we had the babies watching My Little Pony on this little phony in the backseat while Laura and I are sharing an earbud to listen to What You're Wrong About.
Wow. Did you at all think of stopping at the nearest Best Buy or Walmart and picking up the latest iPad?
Let me grab a quick pad here. No, I said, you're lucky. When I was a kid, all we could do was look out the window.
Look at license plates.
Exactly. You want to draw? We got paper.
All right. Well, okay. I'm happy to hear that you guys got home, though. And Lili, I know there was some maybe complications, if you want to call them that, at the border at customs, but all of you got in eventually?
Yes, we did make it in. Took us a little longer than first planned, but we got there. Yeah, had a little delay when we arrived in Toronto here. We had to stay on the tarmac, but turned into a little blessing in disguise because the boys, my two boys, 9 and 5, got a tour of the cockpit. They don't really do those things anymore.
What?
And the boys, they said, any kids who want to come and have a look at the cockpit, they can come up while we're on the tarmac here. The boys raced up there, and we're actually sitting in different rows just because of the way the alignment was of the seats. So I stayed back. My wife went up there with the boys, and I knew they came back when I could hear my 5-year-old walking back down the aisle going, man, they even have lights on the roof in there. Oh, it's crazy.
Cool. Oh, well, that's fun. You got some photos of that, I assume, or somebody
we got a few photos of it. So, it was great stuff. So well done, Delta. You kept the family somewhat sane during one of those unexpected delays.
Okay, great. And JD, you must be excited. You're heading home here soon, too. Well, hopefully.
Yeah, maybe. We'll see.
We'll see.
I'm excited. Sure. Yeah.
Okay. You going to be in the cockpit?
Probably. It sounds like it. If they're keeping people behind, but Air Canada doesn't do that sort of thing. They're like, suck it up, kids. We're in a pandemic.
All right. It's a Monday show here. We do our winners and losers of the NBA weekend, and we're going to get to that in a second. But let's start with sort of like good news, bad news here. Let's start with the good news. Let's get everybody in the Christmas spirit here. We had another wedgie, guys. The rare Saturday matinee wedgie. We just don't get this a lot. You don't really get a Saturday, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock start as it is, but we got a wedgie, Sadiq Bey there for the Pistons, sticking it, a little layup variety there. So 16 on the season. Really, last week was a solid week for wedgies, and it continued into Saturday. I laughed about this one because Tass, you were confused. I said something like in the Slack channel, like, I'll grab this wedgie, get it up on Twitter, and you were like, what game is on right now? It caught me by surprise too. Luckily Twitter was all over it letting us know.
Yeah, that's Saturday afternoon. That's not for the NBA. No, that's for the chills. But I'm ready on a Sunday afternoon. There's usually just a one random game, but Sadiq Bey with the very much of a snowflake of a wedgie. That ball slipped out as well. You don't see that very often. Slipped out on its own. Nobody had to go get it. So
yeah, true.
A very relaxed wedgie.
So that's the good news. We're up to 16 on the season. The bad news, if you want to call it that, the NBA had to postpone 5 games across 3 days amid the league's COVID-19 outbreak here. We had 3 matchups on Sunday. The Nuggets-Nets, we had the Pelicans 76ers, and the Cavaliers-Hawks, one that I was actually scheduled to go down to the Fortress and watch. They were all called off. Tonight's game between the Magic and Raptors, that's called off or delayed or postponed. And Tuesday's game between the Wizards and the Nets, who have just been, absolutely ravaged here with guys out of the lineup because of health and safety protocols here with COVID. That one, too. So that's 5. Who knows if we get more added here. The NBA has not provided information when these matchups will be rescheduled. But the question everybody is asking, Tass, I think we already asked it a week or so ago. Do you think the NBA should take a break here? And maybe just pause the league for a little bit? Or do you think, no, you sort of just got to power through this? What's your take?
Well, should? Yeah, the NBA definitely should take a break right now. NBA fans shouldn't have to be watching glorified G League games, and the NBA should back up its words about caring about the spread of the virus. Delta, Omicron, whatever Greek letters coming down the pipe next, they're making their way through the league. They're relentless. And it's not about the players being sick or getting critically ill. It's about passing it along to people who could die from the virus. The elderly, immunocompromised, young people who can't get the vaccine. But listen, money talks. It's just the way it's going to happen. They are going to muscle through this. It's not happening. The league is not going to stop. David Aldridge has an article up on The Athletic talking to MBPA boss Michelle Roberts this morning. And there wasn't any discussions about it being stopped at this point. At Christmas Day, games are coming up, such a prominent day for the league. 7 games have been canceled in total this year, which is far short of the 31 that were canceled last year when it was less socially acceptable to be playing basketball games. I think that's a part of it as well. It's just the way it is right now. And last season, it was easier to reschedule games because buildings were empty, but now buildings are packed. And that's sort of plays into the it was less socially acceptable last year. Things had stopped, but this year, it's harder because concerts are going on, everything is going on. That being said, the NBA has done its part in messaging to players. 97% of players are vaccinated. Could be 98%. That's a high percentage. If America was 97 or 98% vaccinated, it'd be a far different story. So the NBA's message has gotten to its players. But it's not stopping. There's so much good stuff happening around the league, too. We had a great Bulls game we're going to talk about. Bulls-Lakers was fantastic. Lillard dropped 43. He seems like he's back. My Cleveland Cavaliers have won 19 games already. They're third in the Eastern Conference. 19 games. They took them till April to win 19 last year. And the 2 years before that, they won 19 games each. So it stinks. But yes, the NBA is going to muscle through, even if I think it's 15% of players, according to David Aldridge, there are in health and safety protocols because they are taking care of the players in that way. But the league should strictly just stop and the games will be around. But there's too many things to balance, the sponsors, the buildings, and the ticket sales.
Yeah, the Christmas Day marquee games is interesting, right, Trey? Because on one hand, you get why the league wants to, keep the games going, because that's the NBA's day. I mean, that's when people say that's when the season actually starts, right? But on the other hand, if those Christmas Day games are a bunch of people we've never even heard of, and all these star players are maybe unfortunately out, and we're waiting to see if, like, you know, will Trae Young still be out? Will Giannis still be out? It goes on and on and on. But, like, I guess you could argue, like, is that more harm than, you know, actually playing these games with these call-ups and two-ways and stuff like that? I don't know if you have an opinion on that.
Probably an even bigger question this year, since there are going to be NFL games on as well on Christmas Day. Playing some Saturday games because they're getting later into the season. So the NBA is going to be on their biggest day, pushing a bunch of shorthanded teams missing their stars against the biggest sport in the world that they intentionally try and schedule around. So, yeah, you're right. Maybe that is a problem. But Tass is right. The league should take a break, get everybody boosted in the meantime, all the players that are already vaccinated. But that certainly seems unlikely based on all the reporting we heard from Shams last night. Basically, that once your players go into protocol, not only can you sign new players, you have to sign new players. Right. So to me, that was kind of a sign that the league, at least for right now, is pushing through. Maybe on December 26th, we get notice that the league is going to be taking a break here, but it definitely does not feel like it's going to happen before the Christmas Day games.
In related news, over the weekend, I guess it was, maybe it was on Friday after our show, the Nets say Kyrie Irving Lee is returning as a part-time player. For now, he won't be playing games for the Brooklyn Nets at home in Brooklyn. Now, he can practice because it will be a private facility at that point, but he'll play in these road games outside of traveling to Toronto to play the Raptors. Sort of a 180 here from this organization. What were your thoughts on this?
I didn't really like the messaging. I know that right now so many teams are decimated by injuries, but to then have a situation where guys are getting breakthrough infections and their answer is, well, let's get an unvaccinated person on the road, I think you're just playing with even more danger there, because we know that you can still spread the virus even if you are vaccinated. We understand that. Normal people understand that can still happen. But when you're unvaccinated, the rate of you being able to do that is just significantly increased. And I also sort of think it just sends a message that, like, the Nets are going to stand on their morals, and then they're like, ah, who cares now? We're short of players. Let's just bring anyone back, whoever we can get. We've got an all-star who's not playing there, so I don't like it. But Kyrie is already in protocols himself. So how long he's going to be out for, I'm not sure if the rules, how they apply to unvaccinated versus vaccinated, but I'm guessing he's going to need to pass a negative test, at least two, before he's able to play. So we probably won't see him for at least 10, 12, 14 days here at a minimum. So I'm not really sure. But then I just sort of think, Steve Nash and Joe Tsai and Sean Marks, their whole message was like, you know, we need to know who our guys are going forward. That was their whole thing. Like, we can't have a part-time player. And now they're saying, actually, who cares? We'll just take a part-time player because we're so desperate. So I think it's the wrong thing, but it's that's the Nets' call, and that's what they've gone to play with. And we'll see just how many games Kyrie can actually play. And also the question is, because right now he would not be allowed into Canada. So yep. What happens if the Nets, I know it's looking a long way down, but if he's still not vaccinated in June or April, and the Nets and the Raptors play in a playoff series, what's going to happen then? He can't play in New York and he can't play in Toronto. So it seems a bit silly. But, you know, the tug of war between the vaccinated and unvaccinated, that's going to continue. But right now, I think from the league standpoint, as the other guys have said here, certainly we're not going to see any shutdowns before Christmas Day. And after that, I guess the question they have to answer is, like, how long, if they do choose to have a pause for, is that? Is it a week? Is it 2 weeks? Is it a month? Because I don't think anyone really knows the answer. And I also think when we went back to last year in the bubble, a part of the problem they had was when people weren't playing, they were sort of getting together, and that was also sort of spreading the virus around then. So there is that concern that maybe if people are left to themselves and not with a team, they could still contract the virus. So there's just so many unanswerable questions right now. And I think the league's just trying to sort of push as far as they can till perhaps they get to a point where they're like, okay, now it's simply impossible for us to continue. And I don't know if anyone really knows where that point is, where mark in the sand is.
Oh, no.
It is impossible for us to continue. It's impossible for you to continue.
Silver cut Lee's mic. Yeah, we lost you there for a second, Lee.
You got a glitch, Lee.
No, you're good.
You're
good.
Back. You're back.
Tass, what do you think of the Kyrie thing here?
Well, the Kyrie thing is really interesting for the basketball perspective. Lee covered the non-basketball perspective, but yeah, he can't play in Madison Square Garden. He can't play in Barclays. He can't play in Toronto. So there's 23 games that they play on the road if he starts, in 2022, but he can only play in 20 of them. And then what happens in the playoffs? I mean, would they rather have the 2 seed and let the Bucks get the 1 seed so he can play 4 games in Milwaukee rather than have 4 games at home, which he can't play? I mean, so he could have more games. It's just, it is wild. It's wild, yeah, that Sean Marks really flipped the script. It just seems like it came from the front office. And Sean Marks basically said, you know, we're supposed to sign all these guys to hardship exceptions to replace everybody who's out. They have 10 guys who are in the health and safety protocols, but why go get a guy who's got a hardship exception? Let's just, somebody who, you know, is in the G League or abroad. Lance Stevenson's available, but you know what? We got Kyrie. Let him play on the road. So it is, it's just strange. Now, Kyrie never said that he's against vaccines. So to me, there's a chance that this is bringing him closer to getting vaccinated. I mean, the reason why he's out, he said he was a voice for the voiceless, for the people who were mandated to work because they had to get a vaccine. So to me, I don't know. I don't have any inside information, but does this mean he's closer to getting vaccinated? Because this would be really strange if he's there for months and he can only play on the road and then only on the road in the playoffs if the situation is the same. I understand Durant's played 41 minutes per game the last 9 games, and 10 guys, again, are in health and safety protocols, but this is really, truly unprecedented in a really unprecedented scenario. But I don't know. I lean that he is, you know, thinking about getting vaccinated, because he didn't rule it out when he did his IG live before the season started, and he talked about why he isn't playing. So this is a wild one for him to say, or for the team to say, we're going back on it, and then him to enter health and safety protocols the very next day. I know the Kyrie haters were rejoicing at that moment.
Yeah, I mean, other people are putting on their conspiracy hats and wondering, do the Nets want him out there, even if it's just road games, to try and trade him to show that he obviously still has it and is still an all-NBA type talent and they can move him? There's those people that are saying that. Then, of course, there's people that are saying that maybe Kevin Durant has actually gone to the Nets and said, even though he keeps telling us he loves playing, you know, 45 minutes per game with a bunch of nobodies, he seems to enjoy it and flourish, that he's gone to them and say, hey, come on, I mean, I do need some help here. Let's get him out there, even if it's just road games. Like, who really knows? We'll just see when Kyrie returns, if he returns, and where he returns. But crazy times in the NBA and in the world. It's beginning to feel like Groundhog Day, I guess, a little bit. Like, we have just, like,
it's
we literally
beginning to feel a lot like 2020. Like,
oh my God,
like Christmas last year.
It truly is. It's like, what did we do on no spoiler here, but what did we do with the
it's over,
the,
man.
The hourglass of time.
The
I think really screwed things up, Trey. Yeah.
Oh, no,
the repercussions.
Man, we knew it was a bad twist, Skeets, but we didn't know it was this bad.
No. I don't think she ever would have done it. She would have never smashed it otherwise. She knew what was going to happen. Okay, guys, let's get to on the court. Winners of the NBA weekend. Trey, I got a great idea where you're going to get us started with here this morning. Have at it.
There's only one reason I'm on the show this morning, Skeets. The Bulls didn't play for 8 days. They finally come back, have the game of the weekend, and I'm willing to bet it goes down as the best Christmas Day game of the season. I know what you're thinking. Wasn't it December 19th yesterday? Yeah. But this is two marquee opponents, and I woke up in Illinois and opened some Christmas presents at my dad's house. So trust me, it felt like a Christmas Day game. That was exciting stuff from the Bulls and the Lakers last night. You know, the Bulls have obviously had their problems with the protocols. The Lakers have as well. No Anthony Davis last night, no Frank Vogel for the Lakers. So David Fizdale stepped into his seat, and they put together a banger. The star, no doubt, was DeMar DeRozan. Who would be the MVP of the NBA if he got to play against the Lakers every single game? He's averaging 38 a game against the Lakers in 2 wins this year. 38 last night, 38 in LA, obviously. Last night, Lee, what do free throws do? Win games, 16 for 17 from the line for DeRozan, just doing his part and honestly putting the team on his back. And I don't know, it was fun to watch. You know, the Bulls played pretty well in the first half. Third quarter got really ugly. I thought they looked like a team that hadn't played for 8 straight days. The Lakers turned up the defense. They started forcing turnovers and started taking care of the ball a lot better themselves. LeBron really got into the flow in the third quarter. Got tight heading into the fourth. It was a 1-point lead for the Lakers. Had to put on my Bulls hat. Had to stand by the TV.
Oh.
My dad, my stepmom, Is he always this animated watching the Bulls? Laura looks over. Yeah. They thought I was crazy, but Skeets took home the win. Yeah. You saw. Bulls were down heading into the fourth. Put on the hat. They won.
Yeah.
Did I contribute to the win? Probably a little bit.
Yeah.
Not as much as Lonzo Ball, though. Lonzo Ball was all over the place. No Stacey King for the Bulls, so I was having to do some of the ad-libs. There's five Lonzos out there. Did you see this guy in the last 2 minutes? He may not have had a great scoring second half, but he had an awesome steal down in the right corner defensively on one of the last possessions of the game. Ball's bouncing around. He bops it out, tips it around, and gets back to the Bulls for another shot. DeRozan knocks down the ice-cold mid-range jumper. The guy was great. You know, he hadn't played for quite some time because he picked up his health and safety protocols. Then the Bulls had their games postponed, so it had been a while, but it looked like he hadn't missed a beat coming back and finally playing after such a long time away. So it was great to see the Bulls come back, and it was great to see that they actually picked up where they left off prior to their shutdown.
Yeah, DeRozan said, Tass, he's playing as free as a bird right now. He's playing loose. I mean, that was wild, that final sequence. I mean, LeBron with a hell of a block on him. You know, DeRozan attacking the rim. LeBron still has it, denies it, but then it finds its way over to the corner. Bulls get another shot. I think that was Alonzo, possibly Alonzo 3 that he missed, but they get it again, and that ends in the DeRozan, yeah, cold-blooded jumper in LeBron's eye, like a step inside the three-point line, which is ultimately the game winner there. But this is fun, Tass. I know you're loving the DeRozan. I guess just he's getting his flowers right now. It's sort of cool. I mean, he probably would be all NBA first team, at least second team if it was ending this season. You know, maybe he's hurt a little bit by missing some games there. But as a Raptors fan, I mean, all of Canada's cheering this guy on, and he misses a bunch of games, comes back and hits clutch shots.
He is playing his best ball of his career, even though he's had, you know, all-star seasons. He had a 27-point season. I forgot about going over his stats when he was with the Raptors, but the way he went at LeBron over and over and over again, even if LeBron blocked him that one time, I mean, he has shed the LeBronto owning him feeling, I think. You know, the way he was playing one-on-one and just going at him. This is my favorite year of watching DeMar DeRozan. The guy is playing free as a bird. He had 19 in the fourth quarter. 19 points because he was just being relied upon. And it's a team that can rely on so many different guys, obviously, and that's what makes them so good. If DeMar's not having it one night, then Zach can pick it up. And I think you can really appreciate Lonzo Ball in this role. I think it's sort of like Andrew Wiggins in Golden State, where he is in a bit of a lesser role. He doesn't have to be a number one scorer, so he can miss that three-pointer. He can miss a lot of shots, but you can appreciate, if you're watching the game, how much he does in other aspects of the game. And he doesn't have to carry the team. And I wondered coming into this season, as Lonzo Ball's in his press conference, and he said, you know, this is going to be a new me. I didn't have the ball in my hands enough in New Orleans, but now I will. And he hasn't really. I mean, he's playing off the ball a lot. Obviously, he's pushing the pace, but he is just, you know, fit in perfectly. And so, yeah, there's so many likable guys on this Bulls team. And they have not skipped a beat, and they're just loving each other like Trey is loving watching this game.
Lee, what'd you think of this one? Because it was very entertaining, that fourth quarter, I thought, with them, you know, trading big plays after big plays.
Yeah, and you could just go to Masterclass and see, here's DeMar DeRozan with a fourth quarter Masterclass, because once again,
hey, nice.
He was just...
I'm going to keep
reworking. Oh, nice. I'm going to keep reworking like that joke as long as I can, you know. But because it didn't matter who was defending him. I mean, Trevor Ariza was on him at one point. I mean, you might as well put me on him at that stage, because DeRozan just is like, okay, this is not even defense. I'm just going to go to my spot, spin around, and knock that ball in. And then there was another time as well, and this is what I've pointed out about DeRozan. When he's in that groove, you wouldn't blame him if he decided to take every shot. But instead, Carmelo was on Vucevic, and he sort of left him to double DeRozan. DeRozan just lobbed it in to Vooch, and Vooch has turned around and scored. So DeRozan is just in such control of the game. And I'm seeing a few comments here in the stream team. He sort of has turned the tables on LeBron a bit, because that's what LeBron used to do. Just like, never looked like that DeRozan's team could beat him when he was at the Raptors. Now it sort of looks the opposite. It's like DeRozan is in complete control of how the Bulls offense is right now, whether or not he's even scoring or shooting. But his presence out there brings so much gravity to him and focus on him, that it just makes it very hard to defend Chicago right now. Mm-hmm. So he's just so cool to watch, a guy who's just like an executioner out there, where he's like, mid-range, you cannot stop me. I'm not going for the three. That's not really my shot. But instead, that mid-range, doesn't matter who's defending me, I'm going to rise up. And they're not even hitting the rim right now. They're just going through beautiful like swish bombs. So I'm in Toronto. I had to bring out my old throwback shirt here of DeMar and Kyle, the old twins. And it was, it's just so cool to see DeRozan play the way that he is right now. And, you know, I don't actually think I wouldn't put him in the first team just simply because of the positions there, but certainly yeah. He's in the second or third All-NBA team at least right now because he's been brilliant all season long.
Yeah, I'm happy the stream team was fact-checking me there on my All-NBA first team call for DeRozan because I'm stuck in my Raptors days. I do think of him still as a shooting guard a lot of the time, and he never plays the guard position. He really is considered a forward. He's really a power forward at this point of his career. He was with the Spurs, and he's continued to do that. So that's when it becomes difficult, sure, to be first team All-NBA forward when you've got Giannis, KD, and Jokic. Yeah, probably
that's
not
tough. That's
sneaking
a tough
in
one.
There. But if you considered him a guard, a shooting guard, let's say, it's Curry, and then there's a spot right there. And I think you're making a case for like a Mitchell. I think DeRozan would be there. You know, you might even get crazy and you're talking yourself into Chris Paul and what he's done for the Suns and their record. But yeah, he is a forward and put him down for an All-NBA team. Yeah,
oh, forget the All-NBA ballot. DeRozan is a lock for that first or second team. Right now, I got him at number 5 on the MVP tracker. I haven't checked Basketball Reference.
Yeah, he's 8th.
I mean, the guy is money in the fourth quarter. And the Bulls have been really good. And so far, I mean, we've got a nice top 4 candidates in Curry, Durant, Jokic, and Giannis. Number 5 is up for grabs right now. And for me, as a homer, it's got to be DeRozan. But I don't think that's a huge homer take at this point.
No. I mean, I think there'd be other people saying he's not at 5. But yeah, he's, of course, he is in the conversation of the second table for MVP. Like the one that's sitting right beside them. All right, so the Bulls as a winner. Actually, let's show this to you because I saw people demanding it in the stream team. Benny the Bull. One of the funniest mascots in the league. Just went full meme with it last night. Sorry, JD, didn't have time to throw this on a background. But there he is with the Wolverine meme. Lakers longing for Alex Caruso, who played well in this one too, Tass. Instrumental in the victory. Yes.
What do you have? 13 in the third quarter, I think. It was something a like wild that. One. Euro. He was pulling out all the moves. Yeah, it was fun to watch him. A lot of revenge happening, obviously. DeRozan against his hometown team, Caruso, Lonzo Ball, way back playback. Yep. Vucevic went to USC, I've heard.
Nice. Nice.
Very nice. Good revenge game there from Vucevic versus the Lakers. Lee, let's keep it going here. Who do you got for a winner of the weekend?
Yeah, well, I've been critical of the Timberwolves this season for just not sort of having a tough enough mentality. And it starts a lot with their leader, Karl-Anthony Towns. And on Friday night, the Wolves had a built-in excuse going into the game against the Lakers because just before tip-off, they lost Anthony Edwards and Taurean Prince to COVID protocols. Now, almost every team has been affected in some way anyway. And then to make it worse, the Lakers' two stars who were questionable, LeBron and AD, actually both played. So the Wolves went from 2.5-point favorite to 1.5-point underdog just before tip-off. But this was one of the most impressive and dominant performances I've seen from Karl-Anthony Towns from the start because he was aggressive. He was attacking LeBron and Anthony Davis a couple of times, just bodied Anthony Davis. And I just think that's so important for Karl-Anthony Towns to play that way, to set that sort of tone for the rest of his teammates because he only finished with 28 points and 10 rebounds. Now, that's not a huge statistical line, but I just think the way that he blocked shots early on and just said, listen, we have to go at these guys. We're a man down. They're second best player down. And everyone else kind of fed off that that leadership that I think he showed out there. So, you know, the Lakers, a classic. The Wolves in the third quarter had a big double-digit lead. The Lakers made a push, and you're like, this is when the Wolves just lose focus and they're going to get overrun here. But instead, they responded, and they played really well. They hit threes, and it wasn't just Towns. It was other guys like Jared Vanderbilt out there playing well. Patrick Beverley, I know we're going to get into him a little bit more, but, you know, he's one of those guys who brings a lot. He upsets his own teammates as well at the right time, but he can still contribute in crucial times for his teams. And then last night, very similar story against the Mavericks. Both teams missing a lot of players. No Luka there for the Mavericks. The Mavericks went on a run. I think Tim Hardaway got hot early on. But then the Wolves hung on. Again, it's only 24-7 from Karl-Anthony Towns. But I think he just really showed his team he was the best player on the court last night. And then other guys come along and just sort of raise their game as well. Now, they've won 4 in a row here in Minnesota. We've seen this before. They'd lost 5 in a row before this. Well, it's going to happen in the next 4 or 5 games. Which right. Minnesota Timberwolves team are we going to see? I'm not sure, but you saw, especially on Friday night, Karl-Anthony Towns with a few plays, flexing, screaming, yelling. Like, he needs to be a bit more emotional, I think, like that. Because, again, in the past, the Wolves just, like, let teams off the hook too many times. And they didn't need to do that. And against the Lakers, as I say, the Lakers go into that game in the end as favorite. And this one, the Wolves really controlled this one early on. So I'm hopeful that maybe the Wolves have turned a corner. But I feel yeah. I feel I've been down this road before. But, you know, really good performance considering Edwards missed both games. You know, he's been great for them. D'Angelo Russell played well. D'Angelo Russell had a dunk on Friday night. So there are some signs there. Vanderbilt nearly beefed as well, so there was other things happening. But I don't know. I'm not sure what we're going to see, but I'm really happy to see Karl-Anthony Towns, just before this 4-game winning streak, was saying, you know, food doesn't taste good, life sucks right now, I'm always losing. You just saw a guy out there who was like, I'm desperate to get a couple of wins against yeah. good teams, and he got them. And I think that's really, really positive for Minnesota.
Yeah, especially the teams that they've beaten, you're right, on this 4-game win streak, are teams in theory that they could be challenging for a seeding position, right? They beat the Blazers, they beat the Nuggets, they beat the Lakers, and then they beat the Mavs, like you said, on Sunday there. You know, 1, 2, 3, maybe even 4 of those teams could be where Minnesota is in the playoff standings. That win got them to 15-15. They're 500, jumped ahead of the Mavericks. So nice little streak here, though we get excited about Minnesota, and then they just... let us down. Their upcoming games, if you're curious, they're in Dallas. So they got like the home and home versus them on Tuesday. Then they're in Utah. And then they're at home to the Celtics and the Knicks. And then they play one more on the road against the Jazz again on New Year's night. So we'll see. Can they keep up the good play here? Can Karl-Anthony Towns continue to dominate? You know, look, we do this every couple weeks. It's either the Kings or Wolves we do this with, and we just trade it back and forth. But you're right, Lee, that's a winner of the weekend. I love it. Any comments there on the Wolves, Tass?
Well, it was 1 month ago. They won 5 games in a row, and Karl-Anthony Towns said, yeah, we got a little fat after we got back to that 500 mark, and yeah, they ended up going on a 5-game losing streak. So I shall say nothing. Fool me 100 times, yeah. Shame on me. I mean, I'm right. just, I saw Lee was going to talk about the Wolves, and that's enough, because I can't do it right now. This is a team I do get excited for. I get excited for every McDaniels in the league, every Vanderbilt in the league, every V8, but nope, not doing it. Not doing it today, sir.
I love this comment in the stream team from Kevin. Lee complimenting Pat Beverly? It really is Christmas week. It's true.
But the thing about him is he does do good things for his team. He's like the Wolves. He'll have a streak of 5 good things for his team, and then he'll have 5 of the dumbest plays, turnovers, technical fouls at the wrong right. time, you know, unnecessarily fighting the other team, you know, something like that. And it's like, why can't you just be a little bit more consistent? Just tilt it 6-4 out of those 10 plays rather than have it a 5-5. But he can provide value. You know, that he loves going up against like the Lakers, you know, and against LeBron, because he can sort of, that's where he really wants to make his money. So good for him. Actually, just 2 quick points as well. Anthony Davis is out for like a month now here for the Lakers with an ACL after LeBron shoved, I can't remember who that was. Maybe it was Beasley. Yeah. Oh, was it? Yeah. Into Anthony Davis, and LeBron got an offensive foul on the play. And Isaiah Thomas made his return to the NBA and led the Lakers in scoring. So crazy stuff on a Friday night.
I think we're going to get to the Lakers a little bit later when we get to losers of the weekend, though there were some positives. The IT being one. He looked pretty good. We were talking him up. We were saying this guy looked good in that G League game, and he continued to play pretty well in the league. Okay, 3 quick winners, guys. Saturday night, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Let's make him an all-star, everybody. Drained a game-winning step-back 3 to give OKC the win over the Clippers. We got the clip for you guys here on the stream team. Hell of a separation there on Batum. I think Batum.
Where is Batum
he was
going?
Yeah.
Where is he going? The only way you can lose is a 3-pointer. Where are you going?
Oh, amazing, amazing. He wasn't even close to him, like Trey said.
Not even close.
And then SGA pulls out the what we learned to be the Lamar Odom dance, which was amazing. He had talked about doing this when he ever hit like a really clean game winner. I guess he had talked to it with Darius Baisley. So that, if you somehow remember, was Lamar did it in like a 2000 streetball game. I remember that clip, and it's going around with that. I guess you just call it the Lamar Odom
dance. Lamar Odom, yeah.
Yeah.
The only way he could have replicated it better is if he had tape over his earrings, but you're not allowed to play with earrings, so no tapes.
Right, good call. Yeah. And I will say, too, he was like, his teammates mobbing him was, hurting his real Lamar Odom dance. Yeah. He didn't have the separation to really get it off. But hell of a shot. I mean, he hit a layup to make it a two-point game. There's no way OKC should have won this game against the Clippers. They were down four with like 17 seconds to go. Practice your free throws, though, Lee. Justice Winslow, I think, missed a couple, and that gave SGA the chance to win the game there. So hell of a shot. It's just sort of cool that it comes right on the heels of him hitting an even more insane, what appeared to be game winner against the Pelicans, and then Devontae Graham hit that 61-footer to steal it. So SGA just hitting clutch shot after clutch shot and doing it against the Clippers. TK, a little reminder,
revenge game.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I was watching this with Steve-O. This man is an absolute sicko for any sport, man. He's got cable still, so you're able to flip through channels really fast. So he's like, pew, 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 pew. There's football games going on. Suddenly I'm seeing Shai Gilgeous-Alexander send Nikola Batum into the quantum realm for a jumper. We were loving it. He's like, oh, man, look down at my phone at the wrong time. I'm like, been there, Dad. I've been there, buddy. They'll run it back. Don't worry.
Is he good on the remote?
He's actually pretty good.
It's a good skill to have. People that can bounce around game to game. Yeah, okay.
I'm always impressed when you can flip away from a game at halftime, and then you flip back to that game, and it's like the broadcaster sitting at the table welcome you back to the third quarter. Because that, to me, is like the big variable. You're like, how long is this halftime going to be? 10 minutes? 12 minutes? 14 minutes? We're never really sure. But when you nail it, it feels like you missed nothing. So nice.
See, old people are stuck in their ways, but I think being stuck in your way about cable, sometimes it pays off. It sucks flipping around apps. It's not fun flipping around apps. It is a lot more fun flipping around channels. It's so much faster in a day and age where we want everything fast. I don't want to have to wait 10 seconds to pop out of this app and then pop in this app. I want to be like Steve-O, jumping back. Yeah, the game's on. Yeah, and when you're a sicko and you know your sports, you could fly right back when the broadcast is back and you can watch OKC Clippers with your son. That ain't nothing like it. And OKC owns the Clippers draft pick, so another little bonus. Give him a loss. That helps out. And the Josh Giddey thing was cool, too. Josh Giddey, a near triple-double, and he missed on points, which is strange.
Yeah.
8 points, 10 assists, 18 rebounds.
Wow.
Sick for a 6'8 man. And he would have been the youngest player ever to get a triple-double if he got there. If he just scored one more bucket.
Oh, wow.
Our own Andrew Schlecht of The Athletic told Giddey that after the game in the press conference. He said, he asked him, did you know that you were near a triple-double? And Josh Giddey said, yeah. He said, yeah, I was close. I knew I was a bucket away. And then Schlecht told him, you have 60 more days before you won't be the youngest player ever to get a triple-double. So he was real close. Do you remember who is the youngest to have a triple-double? It's recent.
Doncic?
No, but, in that same realm of era. It's more, even more recent than that. Last year.
Even more recent.
Ja Morant?
No.
No, Anthony.
You'll be kicking yourself.
LaMelo Ball.
Yeah, that makes sense. Good call.
Yeah, there were some great quotes from the Thunder after this game, which you can find all on Andrew Schleck's Twitter account, because Shai also said that if he would have known Giddey was 2 points away from the triple-double, he would have passed it to him for the last shot. Yeah. Liar, but a good quote. And then also, Mark Daigneault, was asked about it, and when he was told, he just said, Skittles. What's that supposed to mean? Skittles? Is that like the nice way of saying, shit, I should have known. Skittles.
I thought I saw there was maybe a clarification of what was going on, because I saw broccoli and Skittles going around. Did anybody read that?
Yeah.
Tass, well, give us a break.
Going in depth, but I did see broccoli and Skittles.
Yeah, okay.
I thought Skittles was the new onions, like testicles.
Taste the rainbow.
Yeah, but Yes, then it got into vegetables and I was done.
Okay. Help us out, guys. Somebody was talking about broccoli and Skittles. We need to figure it out. Also, I want to give a winner of the weekend to the Phoenix Suns, specifically Devin Booker, who returned, like DeRozan coming back. Devin Booker was coming back from a left hamstring strain. He missed 7 games, but he came back. They crushed the Hornets 137-106. He scored 16 points, hit 4 threes in his return. He only had to play like 25 minutes because the Suns, like I said, destroyed them. They were up 36 at one point. Suns shot 57% from the field and 49% from three as a team to beat Charlotte. They're 24-5 on the season. They're a half a game ahead of the Warriors for the best record in the league. This is not being talked about enough at all because the Suns are just going about their business. They went 5-2 without Booker, too. I mean, that's their best player. Obviously, their go-to guy in the clutch. I know they got Chris Paul, too. They're pretty fortunate that they have two of them. But that's a pretty damn good record without D-Book in there. So they're looking good. Winner of weekend to them. And then finally, we had a little history. First Portuguese NBA player ever, King center Namias Keita, I think I'm saying that correctly, made history Friday night when he became the first Portuguese-born player to log minutes in an NBA game. Only got 8 minutes, Lele, but 5 boards and assists, and he had pretty nice block there, too. So sort of wild that, you see that headline, you're like, that hasn't happened before yet? We haven't had a Portuguese-born player, but there you go.
Yeah, congratulations. Hope we get some more Portuguese players in the league. Why not? It's a global game right now. We need more representation from some other great sporting countries.
So there's who we have for winners of the weekend. Sporting countries. Let's hear from you in the stream team, in the YouTube comments, and tweet at us at NoDunksInc. Who would you have for your winners of the NBA weekend? We'll take our first break. When we come back, loser time.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Danielle has taken up painting. Oil painting, acrylic painting, other painting. I don't know what it is, but it's just incredible. If I can convince her to open up a Shopify store, I know she'll be hearing the Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, yeah, just do it, to the first real life store stage, see, you made a sale, all the way to the did we just hit a million order stage? How about that? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap, offering outdoor outfits, or paintings, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From the all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Here's some information. Just like entrepreneur David Scott Martin of Antique Candle did for No Dunks on Shopify. How about that? And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/nodunks, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/nodunks now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/nodunks.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's the little birdie? Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
Back with No Dunks here on a Monday. Just did our winners of the NBA weekend. We'll get to our losers. But first, we were trying to figure out, what the hell is Mark talking about here with broccoli and Skittles and all this stuff? Well, Filthy Cards says, broccoli means doing the things that aren't flashy. defense, making multiple passes, etc. Skittles is one of Mark's, Coach Mark's here of OKC, cute ways to not cuss. So I think somebody said that. But also is your treat for eating your broccoli. There it goes. It all ties together.
I like it.
Yeah, I don't mind it. It sounds like something Lee would say, to be honest, like the broccoli part. It's like, because you give out, you know, carrots on Halloween.
Yeah, broccoli is the powerhouse vegetable, so you want broccoli on your team for sure. You
Who's the broccoli of the NBA this season so far? Alex Caruso?
No, who would be the broccoli? I mean, it's probably Jokic. He's doing everything, you know.
No, he's flashy, though. Jokic is like the best passer.
Listen,
in the
by the way, broccoli can be flashy. Don't disrespect the flashy.
Broccoli can be flashy.
It can be because it's green, for one. It's got the little florets on top. I mean, it's just got a reputation for being a really good guy, but it's got some style in there as well. Don't worry about that.
Oh my God. It's a really good guy.
No, it's Caruso is the broccoli leader in the NBA right now. That's it. Okay, people are great. I mean, people are saying broccoli has bad PR. I mean, maybe. Maybe that's
yeah. I think it's just like it's so reliable and it's so
consistent.
Needs
cheese to be flashy.
Get out of here. It does not need cheese. It can stand alone, man. The broccoli can stand alone. You can have it raw. You can have it steamed. You can have it roasted. You can have it fried if you want. I don't recommend the frying part, but broccoli will always deliver the goods, no matter what conditions it's placed under.
Broccoli, it's a hell of a man.
Broccoli, an actual human good guy. It's a good guy, gets along with the other vegetables on your plate.
Okay, well, let me keep it going. Yeah. You're on fire here. Losers of the NBA weekend.
You're looking at it. I am a big fat loser for this weekend because last week I said the Utah Jazz, after they'd won 8 straight, I said, you know what? They're going to go and break the Phoenix Suns record for this season of 18 wins in a row. They're going to get to 19, maybe 20, because they had a pretty nice home schedule coming up here. They had the Spurs and the Wizards. I thought, yep, no worries. Then they got the Hornets, the Timberwolves, and the Mavericks. And I'm like, yeah, okay, that's how they can string them together. Well, it fell over at the first hurdle. They lost at home to the San Antonio Spurs. And then the Wizards came into town and also beat the Jazz. Now, it doesn't really matter the second one as much because once a streak's been broken, then you can't repair it. But they lose to the San Antonio Spurs, a team that has been playing better basketball recently, certainly over the last couple of weeks here. But the Jazz lose it. It was a close game late. Donovan Mitchell had a chance, missed it. And then he blamed the basketball. Oh, he didn't. He didn't blame the basketball gods, but he said, listen, if you don't play defense and you don't deserve for that last shot to go in. So he sort of accepted it. Maybe the Jazz themselves looked around and thought, yeah, we probably are going to rattle off 19 or 20 in a row here. And that's what happens when you don't, you know, when you look too far ahead, you don't look at what's right in front of you. And I think that's what the Jazz did. So I'll take the L. I'll take it. It's fine. But one of those ones, I had a few people on Twitter bring that up and mention it to me. So it's all good fun. Sometimes we make predictions and we get them right. And sometimes they blow up in our face immediately. And don't even give, like if it had gotten to 16, you know, you're like, oh, I was there, but it was a big gamble. But when you don't even get after the next game, that's one of those ones you wish you could reel back in. But you can't. You live with the L's, and that's the way it goes. So thanks a lot, Jazz.
The ending of the Spurs-Jazz game is awesome, too. That's another great finish over the weekend. Seek out that clip on YouTube for sure, the final minute or so. Big shots being made, holy crap, from the Spurs. And I think it was Lonnie Walker, right, who just like hung in the air to like avoid getting his shot blocked by Gobert and got it dropped. And Derek White had a jumper before that. And Jonte Murray was great. That was a big win. Pirtle had a big offensive rebound and basket there too. So good win. But yeah, streak over just like that, Ailey. Kiss of death.
Yeah, kiss of death. Yeah. Oh, well, you know. The Phoenix Suns can thank me, I guess. Their record's intact. Probably will stay now.
Oh,
for the
wow,
season,
what a spin. So. What a spin. I'm terrified to see what happens to broccoli later tonight.
Ooh. Yeah. Yeah.
Broccoli says they're going to stop making it. Supplies are going to dry up.
I didn't watch this one, Lee, on Friday, but was it a case of too many Skittles and not enough broccoli for the Jazz? I mean, they gave up 128 points. That's a lot for a Jazz team.
Spurs were in their bag. It was full of
their
Skittles.
Their bag of Skittles, the San Antonio Skittles.
Yeah. No, they were good. They played really well. And Lee's right. They've played, you know, For their record, they're much better than their record, I would
say. They've been on, they've been on a nice streak lately, of playing well, at least.
Yeah.
Yeah, that other game on Saturday night, Denny Avdia, the Washington Wizards, that guy's been eating his broccoli. That guy plays defense. You wouldn't think of him as a defensive player, but he is solid defensively. He locked up Donovan Mitchell at the end of this game when Mitchell was trying to bring the Jazz back. And then after Avdia locked him up, he gives the X to his own bench, the X with his arms, crossing his arms, because that's the signal for him putting the clamps on another guy. That's what he does. He's good at it. He's been eating that broccoli, man. although the Wizards are coming back to earth, Denny is making his way into lineups. And he should be, if he's playing like that, if he's locking guys up, he'll be playing like that. But the Jazz, yeah, two straight losses. We got him in the pick and payoff a little bit later. They've got a monstrous line at home to the Hornets, who are also struggling. So we'll see. We'll see where we lie on that one. See if the Jazz are going to start a 25-game win streak. 10.
Okay. Well, Tass, who do you have for a loser of the NBA weekend?
Well, the Lakers, because Anthony Davis is out at least 4 weeks with a sprained knee. Now it's at least 4 weeks because he'll be reevaluated after that. Last year, he missed 2 months, if you remember, and why it happened and how it happened was painful for the Lakers because LeBron pushed off the Timberwolves' Jaden McDaniels. Jaden McDaniels sold it a little bit and went falling back into the legs of Anthony Davis. So if the Lakers get bounced in the playoffs, you're going to see this clip replayed as if it was the Lakers season, LeBron pushing Jaden McDaniels into what happened to be Anthony Davis's final injury. He left the game earlier in the game with an ankle injury, came back, tried to fight it. But it kind of feels like a repeat of last year where Davis went out. It was game 28 last year. He missed 2 months. And this is game 30 this year where he's going to miss at least a month. But the team started way better last year, if we remember. They're 21-7. And this year, they're 7th in the West at 16-15 now after that loss to the Bulls. So what the heck are the Lakers going to do with their big man rotation? I assume Dwight Howard is the starter when he gets back from the health and safety protocols because the DeAndre Jordan experiment's not pretty. And the lineups are going to have LeBron at the five as it was when he started the second half yesterday against the Bulls because they didn't like the DeAndre Jordan experiment. So LeBron at the five, and it was good, but at the same time, he's got to wear down playing defense and leading this team offensively. And I know it looks like they're horrendous defensively this year when you watch them, but they're way worse offensively. And the defense, they're actually 8th now. So that's where they can drop off big time without Anthony Davis. So I just think this team is probably going to play 500 ball the next month without Anthony Davis, like they did last year when he was out and LeBron was healthy. And then eventually LeBron went down too. So I don't see them having home court advantage for the playoffs where they're at right now at 7th. They haven't played well at all. And it looks like they're going to start on the road for the playoffs like they did last season. So how difficult is it going to be for them to get to an NBA Finals? Now, Anthony Davis is saying all the good things. Our Bill Ram at The Athletic talked to Anthony Davis after the injury, and Anthony Davis said, my wife kind of put things in perspective. Marlon is her name, and she said that this is a time for me to get right, to bring it all together. And, he kind of needs that every year, it seems like. when they won the championship, he had 4 months off because of the COVID protocols, or not the COVID protocols, because of the pandemic, and he found his way. And maybe the time off helps because he does seem to miss time a lot. He definitely needs the time off. But I just wonder how this team stays afloat without him because, as much ridicule as he's gotten, the numbers are still good. The defense is still decent. And they are going to miss him a lot because this top-heavy team, it just can't survive. It can't be really good. LeBron will try and get them there. They almost won that game. They're good enough to win games, but it's going to be a lot on LeBron's shoulders because they don't have the depth.
Yeah. I thought their energy was good, right, Trey, against your Bulls there. I mean, they were
second half.
Yeah, they're playing, and that's been a big issue for them a lot of this season. Like, they look checked out or they're not really giving it their all. Can't say that about that loss to the Bulls, but yeah, how concerned are you with AD out for a while and having to probably go small, and obviously being the oldest team in the league by a good margin here, even when you're adding a guy like IT, he's old too. Will they still be a 500 squad by the time AD gets back, or could it get worse for LA?
I think there's an opportunity for them to be a 500 squad, which is probably good enough in the meantime. LeBron was awesome to watch as their small ball five in the second half yesterday with the post-ups and rolling to the lane. Like, we talk about if you're a big guy and you're the roll man, you have to be able to make plays out of the short roll. And if you got LeBron on a short roll, that guy can make some plays. We saw him drawing massive double teams from the Bulls last night, getting wide open threes for Melo there in the fourth quarter. So, yeah, it's going to be a huge responsibility for LeBron. He's been playing really well in the past couple of weeks, but for the first half of last night's game, he has to kind of chill, right? Like, he has to save himself for the second half of these games because he's playing a massive amount of minutes. I think he's at the most minutes per game in five seasons for LeBron. So he's definitely pacing himself, which means that then the Lakers are playing from behind, which means that the second half minutes are probably even heavier than they were in the first half. But Trevor Ariza is back. That's a body, which helps. Isaiah Thomas has probably looked a little bit better than the Lakers were expecting. Hit a couple of floaters last night and at least gives them some playmaking outside. And nobody's really running away in the middle of the Western Conference. The Grizzlies have played incredibly well without Ja Morant. They've got up to fourth, but I think the Clippers are in fifth right now, and they're a game over 500. So if the Lakers are able to stay at around 500 with LeBron playing really well, and then they get AD back, if he's able to actually string together a couple of months of healthy basketball in the second half of the season, they could make a run towards a fourth or a third seed, perhaps, once we get to the second half. But that means a lot on LeBron's shoulders for January and February, basically.
Yeah, to break the tiers down here in the Western Conference, you've got the Suns and the Warriors sort of in that top tier in terms of their records. Then it's the Jazz, then it's the Grizzlies right behind them in the four seed, like Trey said. Clippers 16-14, Nuggets still there 15-14, Lakers 16-15, and then the Wolves in the eighth spot at 500, and then it goes Dallas and Kings and Portland, and you know, even the Spurs, Rockets, and Pelicans aren't all that far behind, like a play-in possible tournament. So yeah, it's crowded, so every one of these games is going to matter in theory, in terms of your seeding and how low, like you were saying, Tass, how low can the Lakers be in a seeding and try and win a title here when you have a healthy LeBron and AD and Westbrook and the rest of their squad? And as for like moves to be made, like what are they? You know, I saw the stream team pointing out they can really only trade Talen Horton-Tucker. Like, that's really the only, like, tradable contract, unless, like, you're somehow getting something for Westbrook, and you're like, okay, well, we're moving off that, because it's not LeBron, it's not AD, and then it's all their other contracts are, like, nothing tasks. Like, there's no of those, like, middle contracts to really trade. So that'll be difficult, too. This could be their squad.
It will be tough. This is where Rob Pelinka earns the bucks. Yeah, Isaiah Thomas was the little bit of patchwork here. He came in and he's starting for the Los Angeles Lakers because so many guys are out with health and safety protocols or injury. They haven't had Kendrick Nunn, who would be playing a lot for this team. But a big is where they could really need help or could really be helped. And I guess that happens in January, February, March in the NBA where a guy's released. Something like that. I mean, Daniel House is available now. The Rockets just released him. He could be a Laker. He could be a wing guy shooting threes. But, yeah, LeBron's going to have to play five. Or Melo's going to have to play five. But it's just – obviously LeBron can play whatever position he wants for a string of possessions. But it's just going to be hard on the bod. He will get old at some point. And, you know, he got injured last year. They went into the playoffs with him and AD not right in the seventh seed. And it fell apart. And it just – it started really well last year, though. I mean, they were so it felt like they could get back to that level. This year has not been like that at all.
All right, a final one here, loser of the weekend. We're going to give it to Frank Gore, who became a bit of a meme this weekend. Now, we could have given D-Will, Darren Williams, a winner of the weekend because they had a boxing match, Lee. Yeah, Darren Williams versus Frank Gore. It was on the undercard of some other fight.
Shout out to Dude Wipes. What a look for Dude Wipes.
Yeah, but here it is. Darren Williams punching Frank Gore. Like, hey! Why are you punching me? So this one went the distance, which was four rounds. But in the end, Darren Williams got the judges' victory. Split decision victory. 38-37, 37-38, and then 40-35.
How does that happen?
What do you mean?
How does boxing work? There's three judges. One judge rates it...
Called it for Frank.
38-37. Yeah. Yep. The other one 38-37 for Darren. And then the other judge comes out of nowhere with a 40-35.
How can it
be that different?
Yeah. They need to go to Olympic boxing scoring, because that's like when you make a connection, that gives you a point. You know, in boxing of this caliber, it's more subjective. And I think it's like, nah, he had a better round, I'm just going to give him the points. And that's why they have an uneven amount of judges, so that you try not to get those, like, you know, split draw decisions. Yeah.
No. So, here's how you should decide these type of fights, these celebrity fighting. Who memed the other guy? Did you make him into a meme? You win. That's it. We go to the meme card.
Artist.
Yeah. I guess Darren Williams, he entered with like a massive advantage in height and reach, and more experience, at least when it came to like sort of training in boxing gyms. And he was using that jab there, Taz. He used
boxing
that jab.
Gyms.
Oh, my goodness. My favorite part of all of this is that D. Will, after the fight, after the victory, says he's done as a boxer. Quote, I'm going to go sit my old dumbass down somewhere and let the professionals do this shit. Honestly, I probably looked terrible out there. As soon as you come out here and start getting touched, all your training goes out the window. That's a great quote. It's got to be the way it is. Like, you put all this work in, and then suddenly you get punched in the face, and out the window it goes. But, yeah, obviously, the Paul brother, not Paul Brothers, but the Paul brother got the victory again over, who'd he fight? Tyrone Woodley. So all I care about from that is, hey, Paul Brothers. Again, not Paul Brothers, the two Paul guys. Stop ducking Kendall Gill. Mm. Yeah, let him get in the ring.
Kendall Gill will get knocked out by Jake Paul.
Wow, you think so?
Yeah, Jake Paul is good at boxing, man. I don't know why. I don't know anything about boxing, but he knocks out legit athletes. So
everybody's not
Kendall
out
Gill's
everybody.
Over 50. Like, Kendall Gill's getting knocked out by Jake Paul, guaranteed.
No way. I say no. I mean,
he's old, man. He's 53 years old.
Yeah, but he actually boxes. The Woodley guy doesn't box, is what they're saying.
Yeah, he just fights for a living.
Yeah, but Kendall Gill's a boxer.
No, he's not, man. He's a commentator for the Bulls, but he boxes occasionally.
I'm Team Kendall Gill on this one. My God, isn't he an Illinois boy?
Yeah, he's an Illinois boy that would get sent to the mat, unfortunately. I'm just being honest here.
No, he'll take
you. You should box him while you're there at home there, Trey.
Kendall Gill is getting back in the ring, though, pretty soon. He's probably training up to fight against Jake Paul while he'll get knocked out.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, I can't wait for that. We'll have to put some money on that. I'll put some money on Kendall Gill. I mean, I'm a little worried he couldn't beat Lee Ellis in a three-point contest. But
yep.
I think he's better in the ring.
He had two chances and he couldn't.
Oh, my goodness. All right, we got to take one more break. When we come back, we got Tweet of the Night. Got a fun question for you guys and everybody in the stream team. You'll have to weigh in on this Tweet of the Night, and then we'll get to Pick'em results and tonight's pick. Don't go anywhere.
Hey, Fidelity. What's it cost to invest with the Fidelity app?
Start with as little as $1 with no account fees or trade commissions on U.S. stocks and ETFs.
That's music to my ears.
I can only talk.
Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Zero account fees apply to retail brokerage accounts only. $0 commission applies to online U.S. equity trades and ETFs and retail Fidelity accounts. Sell order assessment fee not included. Some account types and securities excluded. Details at fidelity.com/commissions. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Let's get to Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the Night. Wow.
Twitter.
Okay, this tweet is from, I believe, Friday night. I am Caleb Wilson. Tweeted to a lot of us, if I were to hypothetically get a No Dunks themed tattoo, what would you guys recommend? This obviously caught my eye. Fun little question here. We actually have some starters/No Dunks tattoos out there. Lili, in fact, your face is on two people, isn't that correct?
Yes, that is correct. I have old Eight Toes has the old VSP logo.
Right.
And then our friends from Cleveland, who have been to a couple of live shows, one of them has a tattoo of my face on her leg. So there's some weird stuff out there in the world.
Yep. So if Caleb was thinking of getting a No Dunks tattoo, he's leaning into this era of the show, what would you suggest, Lee? Anything come to mind?
Well, I mean, the wedgie is the sort of obvious thing. I think that's the most sort of no dunksy, you know, well-known part of our show. So some sort of like backboard with a ball wedged in, and it would have to say wedgie over it so people would understand. I think, I mean, you could do that and then just have the little no dunks logo at the bottom. I think that's probably the one that's going to get the conversation started.
You can just put my name, you can put Tass's name.
Yeah, well, I mean,
no,
like this one to me, sort of that's the low-hanging fruit. It's got to be the wedgie because that's our sort of, you know, connection really to everybody in the stream team, fans who have been around for a long time, you know, broadcasters talk about it. So that's where I'm going, just the wedgie.
Okay. Yeah. Not overthinking it.
It would be nice. It would be nice to get a great depiction of a wedgie because we've tried it before. We've had it on a shirt. We've had someone else make a shirt and it ends up being a ball wedged in the backboard between a rim and a backboard. We got to get better.
That's what it is. I like that shirt. That's a good shirt.
It is a good. It's very soft. Yeah. It's multi-use. Great for sleeping. Great for working out. You can do it all in that shirt. However, I think you can. It's gone through the cycle in my house. I used to wear it, but now it's a workout shirt, and it's great. Really hugs the bod, but I think a tattoo could be a little bit better. Like I would say, why not have a wedgie between two butt cheeks and then no dunks on the actual underwear vertically, like written in the underwear. Or Skeets getting the wedgie from Shaquille O'Neal. I mean, just draw that.
You have the real artist to do that.
Yeah, you need that. But that is art. When Shaq did that to Skeets on our old set on the starters, I mean, that was amazing. It was ripped. And that was, so that could be a cool photo. I'm with Lee that if you want the most people to see that thing and say, hey, I know those dudes, you got to go wedge. But there's probably some other good ones out there.
Oh, well, Trey, what do you have?
How about on your thumbs, on the part of your thumbs that would be facing outwards, a VSP on both of them, so you throw off that. Two VSPs, that'd be pretty baller. Or like almost like a sleeve tattoo, and the top says the Basketball Jones with an X through it, then the starters with an X through it, then the free agents with an X through it, then a huge No Dunks logo.
I like
taking
that
up your whole arm.
Yeah, I think we thought about doing t-shirts like that once. Maybe we still could. That's good. Okay. JD, I don't know if you're listening to this conversation. Anything come to mind?
Barely, as usual, but I have a few suggestions. You know, if you want to be ahead of the curve, we already have a t-shirt, the Classic Factory t-shirt.
Yeah.
But if you really want to be ahead of the curve, I think you should. I'll go full screen for this.
Yeah.
You want to go... want to go with that?
Oh, boy. Oh, wow. Look at this tease for the stream team.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So, yeah, there's that. And there's also for the real super sickos, I would go Jan the Pelican.
What'd you say, Jan or John?
Well, I say Jan.
John?
No, well, I'm saying Jan, as in Jan Brady.
Like
Marsha. But I think it's actually John with a, what is that, a Midwestern accent? Jan the Pelican? Jan the Pelican. I can't do it. Anyway, I think that would be a great tattoo on a person. And you know, no one would know what it was. That's the great thing. It's just, it's a conversation starter. It's like, what is that even? It's like... It's so hard to explain it. That's I love it.
Not much of a conversation.
No. What about like go like Mount Rushmore with sort of the tattoo, but not us five or four even. Like I'm thinking could be Jan/John the Pelican. Could be Matty O. Could have a Mo Verney. Could have a Cam, right?
Yeah.
And then
who's that fourth?
Yeah, I don't know who the fourth is.
Is it you and
is that? It's me.
What about the Mount Rushmore of Skeets in a hat? There you've got this one. Your backwards hat you usually wear.
Yeah.
And then,
we
and
can
then,
do that.
You know.
No, yeah. let's go. What about Tass Dirt Face?
This could be a good tattoo. The MVP table.
Oh, yeah.
Right across the back or the chest or something.
Oh, that's not bad. Yeah, how about just like a little cute little table? Yeah, just to signify a
cute table.
BB table. Yeah, cute table. Cute Steve?
Cute table.
Well, let's hear your suggestions, guys. In the stream team, in the YouTube comments, you can tweet at us. At Nodux. Oh, people are saying the fourth person could be my buddy Grish. It's going to take a lot of ink to get that nose on your body.
Get a nose tattoo.
Vin Diesel, I guess. Yeah. Clipper Bro? Yeah. Chiefs? Yeah, they're right. Okay.
Chiefs?
Yeah, Chiefs.
If
you're a Boston Celtics fan, you should get that for sure.
If you get the whole arm sleeve tattoo and Chiefs could be sort of tucked away in there, but he can't get like Mount Rushmore, what? No way.
No?
You don't I don't think Chiefs is on I respect the Chief, but I'm not putting him on the Rushmore.
Okay, hold on. This is a very funny tattoo. Like, if you're one of those people that just gets funny tattoos, on your on your chest, where you normally you would have a pocket square, put, like, make the pocket and then have a little hot dog sticking out of it. That's funny.
That's funny. If you get funny tattoos, that's funny.
The Dreams Jake is saying mattress smell, so that could be the candle, the mattress candle, the Helix mattress. I'll just put all our ads on your body.
Yeah.
Dude Wipes logo. Yeah, sure. All right. Pick'em results from Friday night. Yes, it was the Lakers-Wolves game. Minnesota was favored by 1.5 at home. It was brought to you by BetMGM, of course. And they got the victory, as we talked about. Nice, solid win there from Minnesota. And I needed it. I'm still in this thing. I'm 4-9 in December. Lee also got the victory. He's 7-6. I'm actually chasing Tass, who's 6-7. Trace, he's clear. He's 10-3, so we won't be getting him. But I need this one. It would help if I am on the opposite side of Tass. What's our game, though?
Oh, you know you are, Skeets. The Charlotte Hornets on a 2-game losing streak while on their 6-game road.
Oof.
Trip here. So this is game number 5. They go into Utah, who is also on a 2-game losing streak. We talked about it earlier. Gave up a couple there to the Spurs and the Wizards this weekend, while the Hornets, a bad loss against the Blazers. They got hammed on Friday night. Then they followed it up with another loss. So they've lost, I think, by a combined...
they are getting blown out here.
They lost by 31 to the Suns. It ended up being only 9 to the Blazers, which shouldn't have been that close. But here we are. Here we are tonight. They're visiting the Utah Jazz, and the spread is 11.5 points. The Jazz are favored by 11.5 big ones. So, yes, myself and Lee believe the Jazz can start that huge, long win streak. But... Skeets and Trey, I guess you guys can still believe that the Jazz win and cover, but you are taking the Charlotte Hornets.
Mm.
Yes. The Charlotte
I believe Hornets LaMelo cover. Ball is back on the squad, so that should...
Yeah, he was back yesterday, right? I do believe.
Was he? I didn't think he played last night.
Yes, he did.
Oh, did he? Okay, there you go.
It wasn't good, though.
No, it wasn't good. That doesn't bode well for me. I actually thought he returned yesterday. Or tonight, but he did return.
That's the real broccoli versus Skittles game. Jazz versus Hornets. The Hornets are great at making you eat Skittles. So I'm hoping that it's a high-scoring game and the Jazz just don't take it that seriously. Pull out the win, but not by that much. Be great for Skeetsy, be great for the race.
Yeah. Yes, it would. I do need this one or I'm going to be in a real deep hole here, especially with only 4 shows this week, as I said off the top. We're only here Monday through Thursday, no show on Friday. And we are figuring out the next week, you know, after Christmas on the weekend. We will have some shows for you guys. So keep joining us. Make sure you subscribe to No Dunks on YouTube. Subscribe to us on Apple and Spotify. You can officially leave your boys 5-star ratings.
Oh, right. Nice.
On Spotify now. Yeah, at least I saw a lot of people doing that over the weekend. I guess they've rolled that out or they're rolling it out. I don't think you can actually leave a written review like you can on Apple Podcasts. But hey, 5 stars is 5 stars. So we appreciate everybody that already has done that. And if you're learning about it for the first time and you listen on Spotify, maybe drop those 5 stars. Email in your NBA questions to nodunks@theathletic.com. We'll hit the beach, guaranteed, at some point this week. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok. Grab yourself an athletic subscription. Go to theathletic.com/nodunks. What are you guys doing today? You going to be seeing new friends or family, Trey? Just kicking it today? What's going on?
Driving, baby. Back in the car. We're going from Sycamore to Sominac today. And just seeing more family. playing with a tiny little bit of snow that's in the shady parts of the house. There's like no snow on the ground here, but the kids are so excited. We got to go find like the coldest places around to find a centimeter of snow and make it into a tiny snowman. So we're going to be doing that in a new place.
Okay. Well, have fun. Lee, you guys got snow, I know, especially where you are in Ontario. What are you doing here with the rest of your day? Anything?
The boys are out sledding already, and I'm going to be joining them in about half an hour. And we're going to be snowball fighting, maybe doing some skating later on as well. Who knows? But yeah, it's a lot of snow on the ground here. Boys are absolutely loving it. My nine-year-old said yesterday, I will never get sick of this.
Snow is tight. Snow is tight.
When you're young, snow is awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so can we expect a slow-mo Instagram shot of you hitting a ramp on your GT racer or something like that?
We'll see. We'll see what happens. Oh, yeah, I might. I'll try to put something together, you know. But, okay. Yeah.
All right. At least play a little ice chess with your kids. All right, guys. We'll be back tomorrow. So join us at 10 a.m. Eastern live on YouTube. Until then, Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. And remember, Shaquille O'Neal once gave J.E. Skeets a wedgie on live television. Showing it to you here on YouTube because it's just a moment to be remembered. Shaq and his... Shaq and his specs. He was selling glasses once upon a time, right? He was just really ripped those undies. What a great shot.
Embrace the day, people. You could stay.